Think about that. If you were 65 years old and you said you got 9 years left to live, and the average human being would spend that every moment of every day, 24/7, watching TV for the next 9 years of their life, wouldn't you want those 9 years back? 65 to 74 going, no, I'm sorry, you've used up that 9 years in front of television. It's amazing, 7 months with God. It's just a matter of time. Patience, it's just a matter of time. That's what we're talking about today. And I'd have to say this. I said in the first service, I think Michiganders are the most patient people in the United States of America. Don't you think Michiganders are patient people? I understand that. They laughed at me in the first service, too. Now, the reason I say that is because we have something called the Detroit Lions. You've got to be a patient person. I moved here a long, long time ago. I've been in Michigan a long time, and I adopted the Lions right away because when I moved here, they drafted a young rookie when I moved here. And the reason I say it is because when I went to school in Oklahoma, this rookie played at Oklahoma State, and I followed him there. He was a phenomenal running back by the name of Barry Sanders. And I said, we're going to win the Super Bowl. It's just a matter of time. And this guy ran and did things with the football and fleet of foot like nobody had ever since Jim Brown and other guys. I mean, this guy was amazing. And we said, it's just a matter of time till we win a Super Bowl. That was a long, long time ago. And how patient we are with the Ford family and the multi-million, hundreds of millions of dollars in Ford Field. What a great building for a fallout shelter. I mean, you remember that, the fallout shelter? Because we're sure that there'll be no tornadoes, no touchdowns there. So, I love the Detroit Lions. I am a diehard fan. You have got to be a patient person for that. Just wait till next year. Just wait. It's just a matter of time. And that's what the Apostle Paul talks about. It's just a matter of time. Patience. I don't know if you're a patient person, but it's all about time. We get impatient because of time. I mean, think about this. I have high-speed internet at my house, and I get frustrated because it's so slow. How in the world? Do you remember dial-up? Some of you still have dial-up. I see those hands. Oh, my goodness. God bless you. We're going to have a special time of prayer for you. That was like Satan himself in that noise. The devil, if you want to know what he sounds like, it's in dial-up. You'd wait 20 minutes just to get to a website. Now I click on something and I wait 30 seconds and I'm frustrated. I expect it right now on high speed. Microwave ovens. How long before dinner's ready? Well, it'll probably be about 10 minutes. I remember as a kid, come back in 2 hours, we're cooking something. We live in a society that time is what costs. You get into a line at the store, and I know she doesn't have 10 items. You have more. There's lines for people like you. But it's just 11. And all of a sudden, impatience. I am not, God has a sense of humor. He's got me preaching this message. I am not a patient person. I had to yesterday sit in the back seat of our van for 30 minutes when the instructor said to my son, okay, here's your road test. Your father can ride. But, sir, and he turned to me and says, you can't say a single word or your son will fail. 30 minutes sitting back there going, slow down. Finally, at the end, about 29 minutes before we're at the end, we're on a one-way street on the right-hand side. I'm thinking we need to be on the left-hand side. I'm in the back, in the mirror, he sees me. I'm going, I'm not kidding. He passed. He has his driver's license. And I am more patient for it. God has a sense of humor. Why am I preaching this? Because over the last week, I know what patience is. I saw it go by. Many times. And I had the opportunity to reach out and grab a hold of it and go, ah, patience. But what did I do? I didn't reach out and grab it. I just laughed and went, yes, bye. How many times in our lives would you really want to pray this prayer? God, make me patient. Right now. right now. I need it right now. And God says, you want it right now? You should have been working on it. It's just a matter of time. Patience is just a matter of time. I love football. Super Bowl's coming up. Lions aren't in it again. But it's just a matter of time. I'm patient. They fired the coach. Think about that. We live in a society, you could win the Super Bowl one year and that coach's job is on the line the next year. What an impatient society. Patience is a virtue, but patience is more than that. Patience is a fruit. This ripe fruit ought to be growing in your life. For you as a Christian, for me as a Christian, and this is so hard, for me as a Christian to say, I am not a patient person, is to say, I do not have the fruit of God's Spirit growing in my life. That is a terrible testimony to the love of God. No wonder why the world says, why should I get up on Sunday morning and go here or anywhere else? Because the people who go there are no different than the people who stay in bed. So why lose a morning? I think that's true about the whole church as a whole. As a whole, I think people look at it and go, okay, I already have my Sunday mornings with my family or my remote or with my lawnmower or my fishing pole. You want me to get out of bed, get up early, drag my family to a place where people gossip, slander, are impatient, get as much divorce and do everything that the world does, but I lose my day over it and have to give money to them? Soapbox has just opened up. And I'm standing on it. Because for me, if there's no difference between me and everyone else in the world, then why even worship the God of this universe? Because the God of this universe has said, I have planted within you my salvation. And because the Holy Spirit's in your life, guess what grows? Joy. And I've got joy. I got the joy bus. If you were here last week in the snow, God bless you about the joy bus. This week, I want you to know, am I a patient person? I'm blossoming. There are signs. It's just a matter of time. Give me some time. Well, you've been a Christian for 20 what years? Give me some time. All right? Even a bamboo tree, there's a special bamboo that grows 1 inch a year for 29 years. So it's 29 inches tall after 29. In the 30th year, it grows a foot a day. Give me some time. I'm getting there. My 30th year is coming up. I'm growing. I want this in my life. I want to be a patient man. You know why I want to be a patient man? Because my wife will love a man of patience. My children, Dad is a patient man with us. Patience is an amazing thing. The word is actually, there's two Greek words for patience. Macrothumia is one of the words. It's a great word. That's a big Greek word. The Greeks took actually one Hebrew word. There's one Hebrew word. It means to suffer long. In fact, the word says macro, meaning long, and thumia means rage or passion. It means to go through suffering a long time. How well do you do at going through tough times? Well, the Hebrew had the word, and the Greeks came along and said, here's two Greek words, macrothumia and hupomone. Now, hupomone and macrothumia mean the same thing, to suffer, to persevere, to have patience, to suffer long. Patience. But this is great. They found that the two words had, this one actually related to this situation, and this one related to this. And it's a beautiful understanding. The same word, synonyms, have two different meanings in Greek. It's like love. We say the word love in English, and someone says, well, I love you guys. Well, now Mr. Pearson might say, well, the pastor said he loved me. But then he heard me the other day say, man, I love the Lions. Well, the Lions are horrible. Does he love me the same way he loves the Lions? Well, then he said he loved pizza. And I say, I love pizza. Honey, I love you. Wait a minute. How do I rate to pizza? So the Greeks had this word agape. And they had another word storge. And they had another word phileo. And they had all these words that we say love. They did the same thing with the word patience. Macrothumia. This is a beautiful word. Macrothumia. It actually refers to people. To suffer long with people? Is there anyone in your life that you just go, oh, people? If I could just get through these people, you don't understand, Pastor. I can't be patient with these people. Hupomone deals with circumstances, which is really great. Now, the word hupomone is actually more positive than the word macrothumia, because it deals with circumstances. It says there's actually hope. And so it has this word attached. It says, if you suffer long through a situation, it's because you have hope. In other words, man, I know this recession is not going to last forever. I have hope. I know I'm not always going to be sick. This flu bug's going away. This sickness is going to be gone. I have hope. Now, the other side, the macrothumia, says I'm dealing with people. And so the word isn't hope. I hope I can deal with these people. It uses and attaches the word, the other fruit, love. Isn't that interesting? It says, I can love these people as I get through the situation. My long suffering is, and I always say this, I love you, but I may not like you. Do you understand what that means? I hope you understand what that means. You can love someone without liking someone. What that means is, you got family members you love. They are family, but you do not like to spend holidays with them. That is the like and the love. You have people that you love, but you're probably not going to invite them up on a Friday night to go out for dinner. But you love them, but you just don't like them. And that's what he's saying. Now, it's just a matter of time. Well, let's take time and talk about this. I understand that when I have to suffer long, I am trying to develop this in my life. And I said, God, how can we learn to be patient? How can I? And all this week, I've had to study this. You know, when you have to study it, it's just no fun. Because then God starts talking to you. And I'm sitting down talking to my wife. I'm on the end of the bed, and we're just kind of relaxing, reclining and relaxing. I said, hey, this whole patient thing. And I knew the minute I started talking to her, I was just waiting for her to say, are you learning anything? But I've been doing that with God all week, sitting on the couch, sitting in the office, down at the river, studying just for hours, reading this, going, God, I'm not the guy to deliver this message. Because the first thing that someone's going to say to you is, well, are you a patient person? I have patience in my life. I have the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And so I said, okay, God, how can I develop the patience that I want to be a godly husband, a godly man, a godly father? And here's what God said. It's just a matter of time. What's happening in your life? What are you going through? What circumstances are you going through? And you go, I'm just going to keep reacting this way. I was in the mall, and I saw this man screaming at his wife. He had her in tears. We were walking through the mall during the holidays, during the Christmas rush, and here's, I don't know what upset him, but he had the person and he had the circumstance, and he brought it all down on his wife. And he was screaming at her and calling her names. I'm standing thinking, I better be careful here or I'm going to do something dumb. And you could just see her just fighting the tears back as she's embarrassed in front of everyone that's looking at the mall. And her husband just unrelentingly, he let a litany of slander towards his wife. And I'm thinking, I'm sure this is the woman he loves. And I'm sure she loves him. At some point, they got married and they're together. And their kids were there. And I'm thinking, at some point, could this have been different? What was it that caused this man to lose it? And I thought to myself, I wonder what it is that has caused me to lose it. You just make me like this. You make me do this. Nobody made you do anything. You see, patience worketh out. Well, the Bible says that suffering worketh out patience. Have you been suffering? Some of us never get through the suffering. So you know what God does? He just brings it right back. Some of you are wondering why you keep going through the same things over and over and over, because you haven't learned the lesson and gotten it. The fruit's not growing. And so Jesus keeps coming back to that fruit tree going, you don't have patience. And you say, I know, and I don't want it. And he says, good, I'm going to put you through the suffering again. And somebody says, does God really put you through the suffering again? Well, read Job. Read Jonah. Read Jesus. Read John, Gideon, Moses, Joshua. Who do you want in the Bible? Read it. God was working in their life to make them godly men and women so they would be better. So if you wonder why you're going through what you're going through, maybe it's because you haven't gotten what He's trying to give you. Allow it to sink in. And it's just a matter of time. Time makes patience. Because the T in time is, it's training. We need to be trained in it. You know, the average football player, you watch a football game, some of you watch the Super Bowl, take about 4 hours to watch the Super Bowl. Do you know the average player in the Super Bowl only plays 7.5 minutes of football? 7.5 minutes. The average play in a football play is 8 seconds. And in that 8 seconds, as that 320-pound lineman lines up against that defensive tackle, as he lines up and he looks, when he hears the snap count, 8 seconds will take place that will determine success or failure in his life. 8 seconds. And it's in that moment that it's not the response that got him where he is. It was the training that got him the response. Some of us want the response, and we've never done the training. We want to be patient and godly men and women, and we've done nothing to become godly men and women. I'm on my soapbox, all right? The box is out. But understand this. I am not the one to be preaching this. And as I was studying that this week, God was teaching me, I've got to train my body. What did the Apostle Paul say? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And the Bible says this. Paul absolutely hits a home run on this. Chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says in verse 24, don't you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that won't last, but we do it to get a crown that lasts forever. Therefore, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Look what he says. I beat my body and I make it a slave. So that after I have preached to others, I won't be disqualified. Here's what he's saying. Paul is saying, I got 8 seconds to win. 8 seconds in my life. Do you know that most of your situations, your crisis moments, usually will come, if you're going to win or succeed, is about 8 seconds. You'll make that decision to let that litany out. You'll make that decision to lose your temper. You'll make that decision to say things that you'll regret. You'll make that decision in about 8 seconds. When that situation hits you, you get to respond. And how you respond will determine whether you succeed or whether you fail. Training. See, some of us think it's our response. We want our response to be better. God, help my response to be better. And God's going, it's not a response issue. It's a training issue. You have not been training yourself to be godly. Paul says, I beat my body. Now listen, folks. Paul wasn't sitting there going, I'm beating my body. He's saying to his flesh, no. And he's saying to his spirit, yes. He is training his spirit man to say, I am a godly man. I'm going to walk in righteousness. Guys, it is so hard. I always tell teenagers, it's not in the back seat of the car that you determine that you're going to be a virgin. That is not the moment to say, I wonder if I should do this. And we always do these seminars with students to say, you better determine if you're going to be a godly man or woman ahead of time to say, on my wedding day, when I unveil the gift of my life, this is the only person who will ever have seen it, touched it, or known it. You will not compare me to another woman. You will not compare me to another situation. You are my prize. You are the epitome. You're the pinnacle of everything I know. There's no one to compare you to. You are it because I made a decision beforehand in training so that when I got to the moment, my response was righteous. That's what I tell them. And you cannot wait to be a patient man or woman in that moment. You've got to decide well ahead of time, and not in the front seat of a car at a red light when somebody goes by and flips you off or does something or hits the back of your car. Or like last year, coming home from the doctor's office with a full cast, and I'm not even 2 blocks away, and the lady is in my lane going the wrong way, and I exit the road and hit a tree. In that moment, my training is going to come into play. And so when I got out of my car and I thought, she's 80, I can take her. And as I sized her up, I said, all right, it's go time. You just crushed my wife's brand new van. I'm in a cast, but I can take you. In that moment, she got out and she said, it's not my fault. Those were her first words. As the police officer showed up, she goes, it wasn't my fault. I said, she was coming down the wrong lane. I said, ma'am, are you okay? Yes. I said, this is just a vehicle. I'm okay too. Thank God that we're both okay. It's in the moment that my training comes into play. Not in the moment, I hope God gives me the right. I hope I do right. Well, folks, we have got to have the training in our lives because it's the 8 seconds, but it was because of 80 hours of watching film of that football player doing it over and over. And the coach goes, do it again, and over, 53 dive, over and over. Do it again, over and over. Coach, what are we doing tomorrow? Again and again. And so when you want to be a godly man or woman and you want to have patience in your life, guess what? Do it over and over and over. And when you hit 8 seconds, instead of being sacked, you will succeed. That's what God wants in our lives. That's the training that God wants in our lives. The eye is real simple. Don't get an eye problem. If you want to be patient in your life, you need to imitate. There's very few people you can imitate in this world as a patient person. We live in an impatient world. Do you have anybody in your life that you can watch film on? You see, when these football players want to decide how they're going to be a football player, usually they'll watch someone say, I'm going to imitate that. I'm going to imitate that person. I remember playing baseball. When I was a kid, I was Vida Blue as a pitcher. When I was a shortstop, I was Campy Campanaris. And some of you are going, I have no idea who those guys are. That's okay. Those are people I imitated as a baseball player. When I was a kid, I was a police officer. I was my father. I was imitating my father. I was imitating everything about him. Is there someone in your life that you can imitate? The Bible says that we are to imitate others who are godly and that have patience. We ought to look and say, now I wonder what they would do in this situation. Well, that's interesting. Let's all go buy a wristband that says, I wonder what Jesus would do in this situation. Because if I ask him, Jesus, what would you do in this situation? He's not going to look at that old lady saying, well, I think I'd turn her other cheek. He's going to say, you know what? Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who harm you. Find a way to love those. You see, macrothumia says, in that situation, I need to imitate Christ. And then I can love people. And so we got to find a way to do that. The problem is, so many of us are trying to be godly people. This is a beautiful tree. I came in this morning, there were robin eggs in there. I said, there are birds in here. Then someone came and said, did you know I put robin eggs in there? I said, well, I saw that. I didn't know they were real. Because you go to Home Depot, they got birds in their place. This is a beautiful fruit right here. This is a beautiful, healthy, lush tree. Some of us are wondering why we're not bearing patience in our lives or joy or any of these fruit. That's because we're in the wrong orchard. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. If you're planted among people that are thorns, guess what? That's going to choke the life right out of you. You need to get into a place where you're around. You want to be a godly person, get around godly people. You want to be a patient person, hang around patient people. You want to be successful in your life, get around success. If you don't want to be godly, listen, it's real easy. You want to be gossips? I can tell you gossips, they hang around with gossips. You want impatient people? They're usually around impatient people. And they just drive each other crazy, but nobody else wants to be around, so they still hang around each other. Image or imitate. We need to imitate. No wonder why he said in the scripture, like a man running aimlessly. You see that in there? Paul says, I'm not like this man running aimlessly. You ever see anybody running aimlessly? It reminds me of that movie Home Alone, the kid. Ah! You know, there was a guy in sports that ran aimlessly. It was on New Year's Day at the Rose Bowl for the national championship. In 1929, Georgia Tech against California in the Rose Bowl. True story. Shortly before halftime, a man named Roy Riggles recovered a fumble for California. He picks up the fumble. He became so confused, he started running 65 yards in the wrong direction. A teammate of his tackled him just before he would have scored points for the opposing team. Tackled him on the 1 yard line. Roy Riggle became known as Wrong Way. In the Rose Bowl, national championship, he picks it up. He gets so dazed and confused, he's a man running aimlessly. The other team that says tried to tackle him in the first 20 yards, and then they just stopped and just let him go. They're like, oh, let's see what happens. They just let him go. He ran. He was going. He was so excited. He got tackled to the 1 yard line. Their team now had the ball on the 1 yard line. They went to punt. He got blocked. 2-point safety, they lost by 1 point, the national championship. because of the wrong way. Guy running aimlessly. I thought, what are the odds of someone doing that? 65 yards. That would never happen in a million years. Imitate. Who's going to follow that example? And it happened. The Minnesota Vikings. A guy named Jim Marshall. He is one of the Iron Men of football on display. His jersey's on display at the NFL Hall of Fame. Jim Marshall's uniform's there. It's been there for years. It's on display. It talks about Jim Marshall. When you go there, there's a voice recording. Being the NFL's legendary Iron Man. If his uniform is on display, already giving him that distinct honor, we have to ask, why isn't Jim Marshall a member of the Hall of Fame? And here's why. Even though he played 20 NFL seasons, 282 consecutive games, 20 seasons without missing a game, 270 consecutive games with one team, 19 consecutive seasons with one team without missing a game, 29 fumble recoveries, including the one he ran the wrong way. Did he not learn from 1929 when you get a fumble, you run the right way? His team screaming at him, he couldn't hear because of the cheer of the crowd. He ran it into the end zone and spiked it in the wrong end zone for a safety. And that's why he's not in the NFL Hall of Fame. Imitate. There are people who will imitate the dumbest things. What are the odds of that ever happening again? The Lions, just a matter of time. Meditation. Not only is time, if we're going to be godly people, we need to meditate. Here's where it comes down to. If I want to have patience in my life, I have to sit under this tree and I need to ponder. I need to meditate. It's interesting, in your Bible, the first thing that Paul said was, in verse 24, is, do you not know? Isn't that a great term? It's like coming up and saying, hey, Jim, didn't you know? And Jim says, know what? Don't you know how to be a patient man? Don't you know how to be a patient woman? Don't you know? And you know what I think the church does? No. I've always heard, don't pray for patience, you'll get it. I've heard that. 20 years in church, that's what I hear. And God says, what do you mean, don't pray for patience? Not only should we pray for it, you ought to be bearing it in your life. You ought to be a patient man or woman. So here it is. We need to meditate on the Word of God. David wrote in the Psalms, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Isn't that interesting? The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. If my heart is meditating on God, won't the words of my mouth be so much better? Here it is. If I'm living as a godly man, God, you are an awesome God. God, you are a loving God. God, I am meditating on who you are. And something happens in my home, my words are going to be better because I have meditated on who God is and not who I am. We need meditation in our lives. Meditation is good medication, by the way, because you'll have good peace in your home. And then finally, endurance. Time, it's just a matter of time. You want patience in your life? Let it work itself out. James said this, consider it pure joy, my sister, when you face trials of many kinds. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance, makrothumia, must finish its work. And you know what we do? In the middle of this work, it's like, is that the dinner bell? I'm going home. In the middle of your trials and temptations, what most of us do is we run. Let me say that again. In the middle of your trials and temptations, what most of us do is we quit, we run. I've had enough of this trial. And we look for every way out. And I think God's saying, why are you looking for a way out? Go through this. Because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It produces patience in your life. And patience must finish its work so you may be mature and complete. The word complete is teleon in the Greek. It means perfect. God wants this to be perfect fruit. I want to be able to come to this tree. I want my wife to be able to come to my life. And the day's coming. My 30 years is coming. Where my wife can come to me and she doesn't have to worry about me losing it because the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth are pleasing. I want to be that man. Don't you? Don't you want to be that kind of person in your life? Don't you want to have God do that? And so the endurance, it's interesting that Paul writes this. Endurance in verse 25 says, everyone who competes goes into strict training. He says, endure this stuff. No wonder why he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says, Timothy, you can endure all things as long as you know one thing in your life. And he says this in 2 Timothy. He says, if you understand this, if you want to endure, that God will help you to endure all things. If you know this, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Endurance says this. Paul wrote, I am going for a crown that lasts forever. Most people go for a crown that doesn't last. Who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? I don't know. Who won the Super Bowl last year? Does it really matter? Does it matter that they have a Super Bowl ring? Because last year doesn't matter anymore. Now it's this year. And it's not about last year. It's about this year. And every year. They're doing it for a crown that doesn't last. They're doing it for something. I look at Brett Favre. I was doing some study on him. He's playing for the New York Jets. That man has played in the NFL for more years than you can even imagine. He's played 17 years as a quarterback. You talk about enduring things. And what's he doing it for? He's doing it for a ring? Or this, at age almost 40. He'll be 40 coming up here this year. He's got the most touchdown passes, 442. The most passing yards, 61,655. Most passing attempts. He's thrown that ball 8,758 times in games. The most wins, 160. Most consecutive starts, 253. Most 3,000 yards passes, 16. On and on and on. Most 30-plus seasons with touchdowns, 8. Most consecutive games with touchdown passes. Most NFL MVPs, 3. And he's coming back again next year, he said. Now I'm thinking to myself, hold on. You're telling me when a 280-pound linebacker that can run a 4.5, 40, hit you square in your jaw after you release that ball and you get another concussion, you're laying there thinking, man, this is worth it. I think I'll get back up and do this again. I'm 40 years old. For what? Paul said this. You know why I do it? I'm not doing it for a Super Bowl ring. Paul said to Timothy, I do it because Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. And I don't care what you're going through in this world. He says, hang in there. You can endure it. You can endure this. Why can you endure it? I've been a pastor for 20 years. I've sat in hospitals, and I've seen the I think I've seen the worst of every situation. I've sat with a guy with a broken neck, not sure if he was going to walk. I've sat with parents who've lost their baby. I've buried babies. I've buried teenagers who decided life wasn't worth it. And some six-shot shotgun through their jaw. I've sat with people with cancer, tuberculosis, heart failure. I sat with married couples who said, that's it. I'll never, ever, this will never, ever work. I'm through. It's over. I've sat with teenagers who said, I don't know about my sexual orientation. I think I've seen about everything a pastor could possibly see in 20 years. And in all of that, the Bible says you need to be with patience and kindness and goodness. You need to bear fruit. What do you say when someone hits a situation and they say, my spouse says it's over? What do you do when their finances and their job and they lose everything and say, I was a faithful man, I was a hardworking man, I don't have a job anymore. What do I do? And I say to you, like Paul says, endure all things. Get back up and go again. Don't respond in an ungodly way. Let your life so shine before men that they will see your good deeds and praise God in heaven. How do you do that? It's because of this. I know that this economy does not hold my future. You see, my house is not my crown. I don't know about you, but the mortgage company, they may come and take my house. That's not my crown. My 401k is not my crown. The president of the United States is not my crown. The government, this country, being a citizen, is not my crown. One day I won't be a citizen. One day I won't have a house. My car that I fix every week is not my crown. My crown is Jesus Christ. And one day I will stand before Him and I'll look Him square in the eyes and I'll say, that's you all this time. And He'll be at the right hand of the Father and say, just a minute. Hold on. I got to pray again. Hold on. I got to pray again. And I'll say, what are you doing? He says, I am interceding for every single person to hold on, endure it, be patient, hold on, suffer long, hang in there, hang in there, hang in there. He says, okay, now, Mitch, I got a moment for you. Hold on. Here you go. Here's your crown. Thanks. Come on in. And I'm going to walk in. I'm going to see the angels around the crystal sea, and they're going to be singing to that guy. And they're going to be singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I said, there's my crown. and you want to know what your crown is, if you want to get through it, listen, this economy is not our crown. The crown of my life, the jewel in our crown, is the God of this universe. I can endure these things. Even when a 300-pound lineman hits me square in the jaw, knocks me on my back, and God says, "What are you going to do?" And I get up, and I have a choice. And I shake his hand, I say, "That was a good shot, God bless you. You won't get me next time." I could react, I can grab my helmet, or I could do like some of these hockey players, I could throw my gloves off and start punching him, which I think is stupid, he's wearing a helmet. Or I could say, "That was a good shot," or "That was a cheap shot." Maybe it was a cheap shot, but my response is still mine, because my crown is waiting me. How to be patient. I can be patient because I am training. I'm trying to imitate Christ. I'm meditating that if God can do this for me, I can do this for others. And I have endurance because I'm hanging in there. I've been married for 23 years. My wife has been married for 23 years. Together, we've been married 46 years. That's a long time. You do the math, all right? You say, "That's a long time." It is a long time. And I want you to know, in those 23 years, that my wife has put up with a lot of stuff. I have not always reacted with patience. I have not always had that fruit coming out of my life. But I will say this, she displays such a godly attitude. The idea, and here's the patience. The idea that she would stay in this situation with me for 23 years is one of the most incredible patient, kindness, long-suffering. And then I think, I wonder what I put God through. What have you put God through this week? What have you done to break His heart? And He puts up with you because He's patient and kind and loving. My Bible tells me that it's His goodness that leads me to repentance. But God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. Why doesn't He just wipe us all out? Because He's patient. If my God is patient with Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, He was patient with Adolf Hitler, He could have just taken them out on day one. He knew. You say, "Oh, those are horrible guys." Hey, folks, get in line. He was patient with Mitch Olson. I thank God He was patient with me. So why wouldn't I be patient with you? Of course I'm patient with you. Now just don't drive in front of me and you'll be fine. Don't be afraid of the suffering. It's in the work. It's in the work that the fruit will grow. Is it in you? Let's stand. Let's pray.